The new sound of 107.9 WRNB. Pensauken, Philadelphia. R&B of the 90s and today. All rise. Court is in session. Call now, 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman. Better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
And a wonderful Sunday morning to you. Welcome to another beautiful day. My name is Tiffany Bake, and I am your co-host here. I am your co-host here on Court Radio, and I'm very glad that you're able to join us today. You could be listening to anything up and down the dial, but I'm very happy that you've decided to spend your time with us. And, of course, we have the one, the only, Dean Weitzman is in the building. Hey, Dean, good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany Bacon.
Yes.
It's been a couple weeks since I've been on air with you today.
Absolutely. And we also have the one and only, David Rappaport.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Bright and fresh this morning.
Yes.
Good morning to all of our Court Radio listeners.
Yes.
Welcome to another fun-filled Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. And David and I held down the fort for you last Sunday.
We did.
Felt like yesterday.
It was fun.
last Sunday.
We did a good job.
It was cool. It was lots of fun.
A lot of calls.
Yeah. That's good.
I was
at the Gospel Fest yesterday all day. It was a really good time.
Yes.
On our sister station, 103.9 Praise Radio.
Mm-hmm.
They're hanging out and doing some grooving on Germantown Avenue.
Yes, indeedy.
It was a nice day and beautiful God-given weather, too. I mean, you know, it seems like we've been in London town for quite some time here in Philly.
Very gloomy, very rainy. I did get a chance to attend on Friday night, where the apocalyptic hail came from the sky and the monsoon swept through the city in about 15 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, I'm not going to the Gospel Fest. And then it cleared up. But it was a little weird Friday night. But
I think they're going to be hanging out there again today. Mm-hmm. And so the weather is no longer frightful.
No.
It's beautiful out. So go on out, get out there. I think also there's the Manayunk Art Festival today.
Oh, yes.
So you can stroll Manayunk and check out some artists' wares.
Yes, and
of course, that's after you've heard a delightful hour of the legal talk found only here at 107.9 WRNB.
Absolutely. And I know you'll have questions. So if you have any legal questions, we invite you to call us now, 215-263-1079. That's very important. You have to have the number so you can reach us. One question per person, 215-263-1079.
Yeah, rumor has it
that issue,
and David were double dipping fools.
No. I will be honest. Here's what happened. I allowed a double dip, and Tiffany then took over and would not allow any possible double dipping. No. I'm soft.
You are. We're going to remove you from the radio if you do that
soft.
Again.
I'm too soft.
No.
But Tiffany's here to help me.
That's over. So listen, we've had a lot of news this week. Several bits of disturbing news in particular, one of which I'm still having a hard time dealing with.
Michael Jackson.
I am self-proclaimed diehard fan since the age of zero.
I went online to print out some fun facts about Michael, and I can't even, there's too many.
Yeah.
There's too many to even mention other than, you could go through so many statistics, records, and this and that, 13 number one hits, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, and this right here,
many,
our producer Ray Chris in the background is playing Dirty Diana, and this is
That's
Eddie Van Halen on the guitar on this one. And
that was one of the number ones.
No, I'm sorry, that was on Beat. Beat It. He was on Beat It. And the rumor is that he didn't think it was going to be all that big and didn't show up for the video or something.
Can you name all the 13 number one hits?
I should be able to, but
let's see. Can you do it quickly?
Beat It.
Okay.
Billie Jean.
Yep. So far, you're good.
Man in the Mirror.
Yep.
That's three. Got 10 more.
Come on, it's easy.
I know. I'm
go
I'm,
way back.
I'm thinking. I Want You Back.
No, that wasn't one of them.
Okay, so are these including the J5 hits?
They are.
Okay. ABC?
You know what? It's not including the...
Okay,
see... So 15 of his, I'm sorry. 13 of his.
You're jamming me up.
Okay. I know, I'm sorry. I can read through them if you want.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
Why don't you?
All right, real quick. You got Ben. Only for one
yes.
week, but Ben was number one.
Okay.
You got Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Oh, yeah.
Rock With You.
Mm-hmm.
Rock With You.
That's yes.
good. All right, Billie Jean, Beat It. Say, Say, Say.
Mm-hmm.
That was with
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
I never thought I'd know the day when David Rappaport were singing on the radio.
We Are the World.
Awesome.
Wait, you want me to do that one?
No.
Of course. We are the world.
Oh, wow.
I'll try and mimic all the different characters. I Just Can't Stop Loving You.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bad.
Yes.
The Way You Make Me Feel.
Mm-hmm.
Man in the Mirror. Dirty Diana, which was only 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Black or White.
Mm-hmm.
And You Are Not Alone.
Awesome.
That was 95, was his last number one.
Awesome.
On the Billboard chart.
Nice. Right. For pop, I think. But I'm sure he had way more on
the
R&B chart.
I guess Billboard R&B Hot chart. 100 is pop,
yeah.
right? Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
When you get to the R&B chart,
it's
different.
I'm sure it's a lot more, yeah. And it should be.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very, very, very sad. And I'm just hoping that, you know, we continue to celebrate his music and focus on that part of him, and other than the stuff that got to be a little crazy or kept the media hounds on his heels.
Well, you know, he's certainly a troubled individual in later years, but an amazing entertainer.
So
that's what he'll be remembered for, I'm sure.
Focusing on that music. Dean, what are your thoughts on Michael?
Well, my thoughts on Michael are, the more, as David said, he was a troubled individual. He had some pain in his life. And I think that you find, when you find somebody who's an amazing talent, they often have associated with them some significant pain. Mm-hmm. And the way that they express that pain, the way that they comfort that pain, is through their talent. So it doesn't come as a surprise. Oftentimes, one comes with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael is no exception to the rule in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that he could have found solace mm-hmm. from some of the demons that followed him. But question then if he had early on, whether he would have been Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, maybe that's too deep for 7 a.m., but that's what I was thinking.
All right. All right. Awesome. Also, we lost another icon from the 70s. Farrah Fawcett succumbed to cancer
yes.
On the same day. In fact, that morning, Farrah Fawcett passed away.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. But, you know, she had been ill for some time, and you know, the family was pretty much preparing.
Yeah, she fought. I mean, you know, obviously I saw the Farrah Fawcett story, the last piece that she did.
I didn't want to watch that. If that
was any indication of reality, she really, really wanted to live.
Yeah.
You know, but that was not to be. And so she's gone. Michael's gone.
And we have Hey-o.
Ed McMahon passed away last week.
Yes.
Dean's looking at me like, what are you doing? You know Ed McMahon, don't you?
I do. I remember him. He used to bring the big checks to the people's doors.
Yeah. Publishers Clearinghouse.
Hey-o.
But yeah. 30 years with Johnny Carson, you know.
And
nothing
the envelope says.
Nothing to shake a stick at. So, yeah, we lost some great people, and we did talk about Gary Papa last Sunday
as
he had passed away by the time we were on the air. So, yeah, a lot of great people have passed away since you and we have been together. So, that's definitely that. But we want to get into what our legal hot button topic is for the day. We already have a people online with a couple of legal questions. So if we can find out what that legal hot button topic is, that would be awesome. And then start to take some of the listeners' legal questions, which, by the way, you can reach us at 215-263-1079.
Okay, here we go. The legal hot button topic of the day. We're going to talk about the incarceration of America. That's what we're going to talk about, because we are the most incarcerated population in the world.
Mm.
And it's enough. If it takes Dean Weitzman and my Philly lawyer, we're going to begin to swing this pendulum in the opposite direction in this regard. There is not enough bed space, not enough prison room for all the people that we seem to want to put into prison. I suggest that we reserve prison for those who are violent offenders and those who are repetitive offenders. Mm-hmm. But those who are there essentially because they are drug addicts, mm-hmm. because they have committed crimes of possession, purchasing drugs, or petty crimes to support a drug habit, need to go into a drug diversion program, into a drug court that mm-hmm. is specifically set up and designed to treat these individuals using the carrot and stick philosophy. Mm-hmm. Give them an opportunity to get a program of treatment, one of the 12-step programs, mm-hmm. follow them meticulously, give them the proper support, and keep them out of jail. For one thing, I mean, even those people who want to slam everybody in jail, it's cheaper by a long shot. You will not, I mean, we're in a recession, right? You want to spend less money on taxes? Keep less people in jail. It's far cheaper to treat them on the outside than it is to bring them in. So if for no other reason than your pocketbook, let's get our people out of jail. So that's what it's going to be about. And we brought my Philly lawyer's expert on all things criminal.
Wow. From personal experience? No, I'm kidding.
The man himself, Kenneth Edelin. And it's only taken me, you know, 6 or so months, and I can just roll his name off my tongue.
Yeah, right, that's the first time. I think that's the first time
beautiful
he said it right.
Thing. It's a beautiful thing. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I certainly
good
want
morning.
To add my voice to all of those that are saying goodbye, and thank you to Michael Jackson for his life and entertainment and the joy that he has brought us.
Hey, you know, one thing with Michael Jackson, since we're on a legal show, Ken, can you imagine what his estate is going to be like as far as trying to settle it.
It's already First of all, absolute chaos.
He owes so much, yet there are people like Paul McCartney, for one, who he owned Paul McCartney's rights to songs and a lot of other artists, too. They're going to want that, but he owes money, so...
Yeah, but that's nothing. Don't you worry about Michael Jackson's estate, because let me tell you something. He bought the Beatles' whole catalog for $47.5
million. That's right.
It's got to be worth 10 times that right now.
Well, I want to tell you.
He may owe $500 million, but he's no longer going to be spending money the way that he spent money because he's no longer alive.
Did you pull that number out of your hat?
No.
$500 million?
No.
You got that off the...
Yeah, because, that was on the news somewhere.
Because you know that $500 million is what he... potentially is worth with the music catalog.
Right.
And but that's, you know, they can't just give $500 million to the estate. I mean, they would go bankrupt. So he was spending as much as $30 million a year when he was alive.
Right. So he's not going to be spending. So the money's going to come in to pay down the debt of the estate.
It's going to take years, though.
Who cares? Is that we have years. That's the beautiful thing about life. So
wow.
And obviously, all of his music and catalog and
still makes money.
Memorabilia and paraphernalia.
The sales just went up.
Hey, listen, Elvis has been dead for how long?
That's right.
He still makes $50 million a year.
I think the point I'm making, though, is how many hands are going to be in the. In the pot for Michael Jackson, right?
Right.
How many hands?
Yeah. Well, just give it to Mr.
Rappaport.
My affiliate.
Lord, have mercy. Well, if you're just
we'll
tuning in, I know that's
we'll
right.
We'll distribute it.
Sorry, Ken, but I had to bring that up because
I would be perfectly happy with talking about Mike for the entire hour.
I know.
Yeah.
I grew up with Michael Jackson, watching the cartoons every Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
listening
that.
To the music, trying to learn the dance steps.
I gotta see that.
I know it.
Get
know
up.
It.
Let's see.
That was many pounds and many bad knees ago.
Oh, wow. I definitely know all of Thriller, but that's another story. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to 107.9 WRNB. This is Court Radio, brought to you by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Let's go to the phones. We have some people calling in with legal questions. 215-263-1079. Ashley is calling in from Philadelphia. Ashley, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much.
Morning.
Morning, Ashley.
I have a custody question, and this question came up because a couple years ago, when I was in the bathroom, my niece was in the room, and her father took her. We didn't know where they were going, so he called the police, and he said because the child was in no harm, they couldn't do anything. My question is, if one parent has custody over the child, how in what way does that restrict the other parent?
Well, it depends on the order. I mean, if one parent is the primary custodial parent and a second parent has visitation rights or a partial custody, let's say for weekends, if the parent, the non-custodial parent, has the child beyond the time he or she is supposed to have the child, then the custodial parent can seek to retrieve the child and the police will get involved.
Okay.
As long as there's an order. If there's no order, then either parent has just as much equal right to the child.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ashley. Thank you for calling. We also have Stephanie calling in from Feltonville. Stephanie, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Okay. My question is, I was hit by a car crossing the street last Saturday. Do I still have rights to take it to court?
Yes. Okay.
There's not a limitation to it because it's been over a week?
No. Your statute of limitations is 2 years. Of course, in order to have a claim, you need to have both negligence. That means the other driver had to have done something wrong. And secondly, that something had to have caused you to sustain injury.
No,
so,
he hit me with the front of his car. He pushed me back across the street, and I was at the crosswalk.
Okay, well, that sounds like he was negligent.
Were you hurt?
Were you hurt in the accident?
Yes, I hurt my they took me to the ER. They told me I pulled my Achilles tendon, and I still walk with a limp.
Okay, well, we can discuss that in particular tomorrow. I would suggest that you give us a call in the morning, and we'll get you in for an appointment tomorrow or early in the week, and we can discuss what your options are. So call 215-227-2727.
Okay. Now, can I suggest something to your topic?
Sure.
About the prisons?
Is this a double dip?
No. Different topic.
It's a suggestion.
Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
My opinion, we should be like the Chinese. They don't even carry guns in China or Okinawa, and yet they have no crime rate. Why is it America is too lenient and too soft?
I was going to say, I think in China they kill they take them into a back room and kill them in China. So, well, I don't know if that's the right idea, but
and they get to choose one from column A and one from column B.
Oh, that is deep.
Well, listen,
that's going in a bad direction.
They know that they will take them in a room and kill them, so there's no crime.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but as I said when we started, violent criminals. Criminals who are repeat offenders, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about somebody who's essentially sick, somebody who suffers from the disease of addiction, who is all about getting and using drugs.
Right.
Those individuals need to be helped. They need to be treated. And if they're treated, they can be taken out of the system. And we don't have to then continue to spend money to incarcerate them and keep them locked up. And they can become productive members of society. That's what we want. Enough with the punishment. We need to get into the rehabilitation.
All right.
Sorry.
They come back out and they do the same thing.
That's because they're not getting treated in there. They're in there just learning how to be better criminals. We need to make them productive members of society. And to do that, they need treatment.
What we know is warehousing people does not work. You can't just throw them in a hole and sit them there, not educate them, not treat them, not give them life skills, and then let them out in 5 or 10 years and expect them to be productive and law-abiding citizens. That just runs contrary to common sense.
Paying for all this,
it's cheaper to rehabilitate than it is to incarcerate.
Right, but aren't we told when they go in prison, they are getting this treatment?
They're not.
That's a lie.
It's a lie. The government's lying to you again. No, listen, we the pendulum is swinging back. It's time. We're going to do it. So people need to get with it, get with the program. People need treatment. They need to get out of jail and get into a 12-step program. They need to be, monitored closely. And if they don't adhere to the requirements of the program, then they need to be put into jail for a little while, woken up, brought back, given another opportunity. You know, you do this, it works. The drug courts that are in, and Ken's going to talk about the drug courts, but there are drug courts in place now, and it works. people are getting help and they're not being criminals anymore. And that's our goal. It isn't to punish them. That's old school. We got to get beyond that. We got to get into the rehab mode.
And you also have to recognize that it's going to take a couple shots at it. I mean, that's the part of addiction. That's a part of being sick. That's a part of having this illness. You
right.
don't
Everything
get well the first time around. I mean, the drug courts and the drug programs and the treatment programs are set up to allow for some slippage.
Right. So you get a hot urine, right?
Yeah.
And then you go into jail. All right, that's it.
Urine, you get your time that you have to spend in drug court extended, or you have to go in jail for a couple of days, or you have to step up the number of treatments that you do, or you have to go into an inpatient program instead of staying in the outpatient program.
So you're talking about more rehab houses.
There has to be, because this is an illness. This is a sickness. You have to treat it, or the behavior is going to be the same.
All right, Stephanie, thank you for your call. You energized us.
Yeah.
You energized us. We appreciate that. And give us a call tomorrow regarding your pedestrian knockdown accident.
Okay.
All right, be well.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. If you're just tuning in, this is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB. We have Brenda on the phone calling in from Alney. Brenda, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, morning. Brenda.
Morning, Brenda.
Okay, I have a question pertaining to a DUI. I was not involved. I'm 2 days away from going to court for this, and I want to find out what are the possibilities of me recouping some losses done to my car.
Well, did the... The question is, first and foremost, does the DUI-er, the drunk driver who caused your loss, did he have insurance?
No.
Okay.
He did not.
So then the question is, and I assume you didn't have collision coverage on your car.
No, I did not.
Okay. So you would then take your bill, take your estimate for damage, and give it to the district attorney's office. And they will make
that,
and you should call and make sure or attend the hearing, but they should make that a part of the sentence for the person who is convicted of the DUI, that they have restitution. They have to pay you back your money in that process. So it may take time, but you should get paid back. Otherwise, they're never going to finish their probationary sentence.
Okay, this person had a bench warrant because they didn't go to the first hearing.
Okay.
Do you know if they found the person?
Did they find them?
Has that person since been arrested?
Yeah, because it's going to court Tuesday.
Okay, good.
So that person has been arrested. Now they are going to bring them to court.
Right.
Okay. So you can still do the same thing Dean just said. Make sure the district attorney who's handling the case knows that you had some out-of-pocket expenses because of the actions of the other person. And they can fashion a restitution portion of whatever sentence the person gets.
Okay, this doesn't have to go to civil court or anything else.
Nope. You should. In this instance, the district attorney's office should assist you in getting paid back. You want to attend on Tuesday to be a participant.
I will be there.
All right.
And have your bill with you.
Okay.
Have a great Sunday.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. If you're just tuning in, this is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. If you're sitting at home and you're wondering what to do if you or someone close to you are involved in an automobile accident, slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice, all you have to do is contact the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, the home of My Philly Lawyer. They have over 100 years of combined experience, and they will aggressively fight for you. Just call now for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to your questions, call 215-227-2727. That's 215-227-2727. Or visit them online at myphillylawyer.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Ken, give us some key points on what drug treatment courts do, how they work.
The purpose of drug treatment courts is, number one, there's a fundamental shift in how you approach the criminal justice system, and you recognize that drug addiction, alcohol addiction, or any number of addictions are a medical issue or an illness or a sickness, and that therefore they have to be treated in a different manner than just incarcerating people. So part of what the drug treatment courts do is that they integrate alcohol and other drug treatment services within the criminal justice system. They use a non-adversarial approach. Prosecutors and defense counsel promote public safety while protecting citizens' rights, due process rights. Eligible participants are identified early and promptly placed in drug court programs so they can start getting the counseling and the mentoring and the treatment and the education that they need. They also provide access to a continuum of alcohol and drug and other related treatment rehabilitative services. I mean, so the whole focus is look at what the underlying problem is and not just treat the symptoms of the illness, but actually go to the source of the illness and treat the illnesses.
Okay, so that's why do we do it? Not because we're soft on crime, not because we want people to not have to go to jail for these kinds of crimes, because they're crimes, they're committing crimes. We want to stop the cycle of crime, and we want to do it in the most economical fashion and the most successful fashion. There are many states, Pennsylvania is not one of them currently, but there are many states where they have a no prison rule. You don't go to prison for crimes related to drug use. And so we need to get with them. We need, of course, Pennsylvania is never at the vanguard of these types of things, unfortunately. I mean, listen, it is my state, but we're never at the vanguard. But you know what? It's time that we picked up the mantle and we began to move in that direction. How does it happen? You call your legislators. You call your state representatives, you call your state senators, and you say, I'm tired of paying for people going to jail. Listen, 25% of the people in jail right now are there for drug-related crimes. Mm-hmm. You know what we could save? You know how much money we could save if we got them out and started getting them into drug programs? Come on, a fortune. They're not getting the treatment in behind the walls. They don't have the manpower to do it behind the walls. We need to get them out into the community, get them into the proper drug and treatment and alcohol programs, and give them an opportunity to get better.
Now, I guess an argument can be made that even doing this will create jobs, too, because you have to have facilities and people manning them and all that.
Right.
But with jobs and creating all that comes cost, too. Now, you made the comment, both of you, that it's a lot cheaper. How do you know that? I mean, why is it cheaper?
Well, because when you have to provide three meals a day, you know, a bunk, security, all those components of being in jail, each one of those things adds up. You don't have that on the outside. I think the estimate is like $20,000+ per prisoner per year for being behind bars.
But to have effective treatment, though, don't you need to have, you know?
No, you don't need to have anywhere near that kind of money spent.
Okay. And you're not dealing with the recurring costs. I mean, because if you're not addressing the real issue, then folks are just going back and forth to jail. I mean, so you have a recurring cost. And again, you know, people get all in the uproar when you think that we're being soft on crime. We are not talking about violent criminals. We are not talking about habitual repeat offenders. We are talking about people who are committing petty crimes or who are in jail for simple drug possession. Again, the drug courts in Philly, you can't have any violence in your background and get into the drug court. You can't even have more than two nonviolent crimes to get into the drug court. I mean, so these are people who are new to the system, relatively new to the system, and who are there because of their drug addiction, because they are trying to feed and sustain their habit. So it only makes sense that if you treat that habit, if you treat that addiction, you remove these people from the population that are caught up in the criminal justice.
And this is a conversation we need to have now, because we got new district attorneys who are vying for the job, and I want to hear from them. I want to hear that they're willing, they're invested in this process, because if it's just going to be the same old, lock them up, throw away the keys mentality, we don't need you in Philly. Mm. Go home, all right? Mm. It's either you're going to get in with the rehab program, you're going to either realize this is a disease and that you're dealing with a significant segment of the population who suffers from the disease of addiction and who needs treatment, or this is not the job for you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Court Radio in Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRMB. We welcome your legal questions at 215-263-1079. We have Daryl calling in from North Philadelphia with a question. Daryl, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Daryl.
Question?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
All right, so, like, last 4th of July, I was in a car accident, and I was in a passenger, like the back passenger seat with a hack. So I'm in a car accident. So as the like the ambulance come, the ambulance get us, and they don't take a report and get the insurance of the driver. Both need the drivers. So now my case is going like through an uninsured motorist for less money than we could have actually got with if the ambulance would have waited. Like they just rushed us out to the hospital without getting a police report from either motorist. Is there a way like I could go through like the ambulance because they have rushed us out so fast without getting a police report?
Well, the police report should be available in City Hall.
Well, no, I think what he's saying. I think what he's saying is, Darryl, there was no police report made.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
So and now we're going through uninsured motorists.
You're going to
find the guy that actually, like either guys, like the ambulance, they came, they picked us up. So I don't know if the police, I guess the police didn't come to be able to come take that report. But the, as the officer that came to the hospital that took the report, but now the guy that this. Both motors that was at the scene after the ambulance that took us, they had left.
Right. So there's no identity of the cab or the other vehicle.
Yes.
And you were in an accident. There's a report. There's an ambulance report and a subsequent police report. But you're going through what's called the Pennsylvania Assigned Claims Plan.
Yes.
And that is the plan for when people have no insurance. And in this instance, you have no insurance because there was none identified at the scene. And unfortunately, that's a factual problem that you're not going to be able to solve at a year later. You're not going to be able to find out the name, identity of the drivers of the cars and their insurance company. And without that, you're left with the plan. The plan is not the best of revenue avenues, but it's the only avenue you may have. And what that means is that you get to make a claim against this government agency. It's not an insurance company. And you get a maximum of $15,000, but $5,000 of that can be earmarked towards medical bills. So for pain and suffering, you may be capped at $10,000. And of course, there's other specific rules and regulations regarding the plan, which may knock out a good case otherwise.
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you know if any of the drivers were taken to the hospital?
No, neither one of them.
They weren't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I guess both of them, they was scared of the insurance going up. But it was a really bad accident. Like, it was like the whole back of the car was damaged. So we go to the hospital, and a cop, he comes to the hospital and take a police report there.
Right. Gotcha.
We understand.
You're limited to the plan.
You're limited, yeah.
But at least you have you have some recovery.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Be well. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Darryl. All right. Bye-bye. We also have Dorothy calling in from Philadelphia. Dorothy, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dorothy.
What's your question?
I wanted to know, my father passed last year. He left a will. He had 10 children. He left 2 children and my mother in his will. There was a wrongful death lawsuit which netted some money. And the families, the lawyer said that all the siblings needed to know, so they sent out a notice which stirred up a lot of anger. So I wanted to know, there's another part of the lawsuit, and it hasn't settled yet, but do they have to inform their siblings again?
Yes.
They still do.
Yeah, the will doesn't control the wrongful death.
It may or may not. Will.
I don't think it ever will.
Well, let me say this. If the will is written where there's a residuary to the estate, then perhaps the subsequent claims for wrongful death fall into this residuary. Your father may make specific bequests. I give X to this person and I give Y to that person.
The one part of the case, but the part survival and wrongful death, you got two different parts. And
right.
The one that's for the beneficiaries, all of the kids are the
absolutely. David's correct. There's two aspects of a wrongful death claim. There's the wrongful death claim and there's a survival claim. And the survival claim will go per the will.
Right.
The wrongful death claim will go to each of the wrongful death beneficiaries, which in this case would be all of the children. And so the answer is, depending on many factors, which we're not going to get into today, part of that claim, even though 8 of the 10 children are not in the will, part of his death claim may still go to those other 8 children. And everybody has to be notified of their potential rights so that they can enforce them if they choose to.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot. And also we have Ed calling in from Philadelphia. Ed, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ed, good morning.
What's your question, sir?
I'm calling just to comment on people talk about the cost of incarceration. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania DOC budget is $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. That is the second highest budget in the state, second to transportation.
Just behind Michael Jackson's indebtedness. Poor Michael. No, go ahead. So, yes.
Yeah, you're right. Infrastructure. Roads and bridges.
You're right.
I mean, this is ridiculous spending this kind of money to incarcerate people.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. So what should we do, Ed?
I agree with you with the alternative programs. This stuff about, you know, jailing people forever, warehousing them, and get the creep in return. Just as sad as they say, when he went in, or worse.
So, Ed, you sound like you're on our side, and you're going to help us turn this tide.
You're starting the movement with my Philly lawyer.
So call your state representatives, call your senators, call your new district attorney and tell them, let's let the drug addicts free. Make them go into programs, release them from jails, and get us out of debt.
It really sounds like a win-win. I mean, I'm starting to think, I mentioned it before, but so many jobs can be created from this, really. I mean, counselors, rehabilitation facilities, people have to man them. Construction of those facilities, education. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that we can create.
Absolutely.
Well, the only problem with it is we have a correctional industry that benefits the western part of the state. Most of the prisons are there.
You're right.
And so most of the jobs are there.
And a lot of political prison systems
are from the southeast.
Yeah, a lot of political power is there, too.
Let me tell you.
The level of overcrowding.
It's really hard to get that changed, you know, because they look at, you know, the prison system is some of the biggest employers in some of these counties.
You're absolutely right. And let me tell you something else. We have gone to privatization of our jails as well. And those people are padding the pockets of politicians. That's right. You heard it here. They're padding the pockets of politicians.
Say that fast.
You know, like,
Luzerne. There's a perfect example.
Perfect example. Luzerne County judges getting paid to incarcerate kids.
Yeah.
How about that company that was the private military company?
Oh, Blackwater or something.
Yeah, Blackwater. I mean, don't kid yourself. These companies, they carry a lot of weight, you know, on the lobbying side up in Harrisburg. And you're right, Ed. The western side has a lot of prisons, and that's big business for little towns that don't have any other business.
But folks, be clear. Just treating those who have drug addiction is not going to close the prisons down. The level of overcrowding in all of the prison is such that you can still take that population out.
And you'll still have overcrowding.
Right, and they're still working at full capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're not taking jobs away from prisons.
Oh, that's
right. We're not taking jobs away from folks working in prison.
You're going to lose jobs and you're part of it, you know, state. So keep these prisons built, keep them crowded.
You're right. That's what they'll tell people.
And it's up to us to make sure that accurate, true word gets out.
True word, yes. The word.
We don't privatization in that state prison is the Supreme Court ruled that illegal. Only municipal governments can incarcerate people.
What was that again? Say that again.
Privatization of the correctional facility system is what I think. That's what you're talking about, Ed. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Eddie, yes, unfortunately, we as a society, we couldn't afford to continue to build prisons from the municipal side. We needed to outsource that because it was just too expensive. The whole thing is crazy. But anyway, we need to get those who don't belong there and who can benefit from being out of there, out of there. And you know what? It'll have a trickle-down effect, because if you don't have young kids in jails, okay, learning the art of being criminals, but are there instead out on the street and getting the rehab that they need, then there will be less violent offenders later on. You know, a violent offender, for the most part, doesn't start out by being a violent offender. He starts out with being a petty criminal. So, again, I don't see any downside to this. And as Ken said, you know, if we take out the overcrowding piece, you're still going to need jails. You're still going to have people out in the West where there's nothing else to do but house people. They'll still have to have those people in jails. So don't fear Allegheny County, you know. Philadelphia is not going to deprive you of your precious resource of housing our criminals. All right. Thanks, Ed.
Well, we have plenty of them to come to you. Yeah.
All right, Ed. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, Michael Jackson fact. You ready?
Yes.
He was the only artist to have 5 number one hits from one LP. Bad. It was Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel, Man in the Mirror, mm-hmm. I Just Can't Stop Loving You, and Dirty Diana.
Yeah.
Here's another Michael Jackson fact. Dean Weitzman, a trumpet player.
Oh, God. I've heard the trumpet in his lips.
Played Ben publicly. So
Ben, wow.
I hear you. I can sing Ben. You want me to sing it?
No, I don't.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station, 107.9 WRNB. Now, remember, if you've been injured from an automobile accident, slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, you can call the attorneys at Silver, Slangsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Don't give it a second thought. Just call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. They have over 100 years of combined experience, so let them aggressively fight for you. Just sit back and get well. Call now at 215-227-2727. That's 215-227-2727, or visit their informative website at MyPhillyLawyer.com. Can't wait till tomorrow. Call us now, 215-263-1079.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Listen, we got to change the copy because my good friend Ken Edelin is, you know, leading the criminal defense segment of My Philly Lawyer. We have our own criminal defense division now. Yes. And so the copy needs to be modified so that the people know that in addition to being the best out there for their civil needs, we also now have a full criminal defense team headed by Mr. Edelin, along with other members of the My Philly Lawyer team. And if you have the unfortunate need for criminal representation, please give us a call at 215-227-2727. And I will also say that My Philly Lawyer has a blog now. We're the MyPhillyLawyerBlog.com. where we talk about the topics of the day, and individuals have an opportunity to read that blog and also correspond with us through that and to come up with ideas for subsequent and future court radio shows. So I am done plugging My Philly Lawyer, and let's get back to the topic of the day, which is free the people who need to be freed and incarcerate only those who are repeat and violent offenders.
And, Dean, let me just circle back to the point that you made earlier about the carrot and the stick approach. Because in the treatment court in Philadelphia, what you do is you come into court and you plead no contest, which means you're not saying you're guilty, but you're not fighting what the factual allegations are. You then go through the program, and if you successfully complete the program, the case will be dismissed and eventually you can have it expunged. But if you do not complete the program, if you are unable or unwilling to rehabilitate yourself, then there's no contest plea turns into a conviction. So again, just circling back to your carrot and stick analogy, and that is certainly the way it is set up. And it provides incentive, but it also provides punishment and protection.
And so far, these drug treatment programs have worked. And isn't that the bottom line? They've worked. People have committed fewer subsequent crimes. Graduates are 92% conviction-free 1 year post-graduation. Think about that. 92% of those who graduate from these drug treatment programs are criminal-free, crime-free, 1 year post-accident. I don't think there's any... Stop. That's like, you know, there's nothing else to say about it. You can't you don't have those statistics when people are released from jail having served their sentence, and then the recidivism rate is way higher than 8%. Way higher than 8%. There's nothing else to talk about. okay? The only reason you'd still want to lock people up is just for the social aspect of, hey, I'm tough on crime, you know, vote for me, and I'm going to get people off the street. But what you're not telling people is that you're getting them off the street in a merry-go-round, and they're coming right back on the street to commit more crime. Do you want to do this because you're trying to have a need for more district attorneys, more cops, more judges, more this and more that, or do you want to really solve the problem? Here's how you solve the problem. Treat it as a disease and get people better, and let's get them into a more productive aspect of society. Let's make them productive members of society, not productive members of the criminal justice system.
And so if you're remaining conviction-free, it only logically follows that now you are back in the community, now you're being productive, now you're back in the home, now you're raising your children, now you're increasing your education, now you're working, now you're paying taxes. I mean, it's just an overall benefit, not only to the person, not only to their household, but to society and the community at large.
Right. You know, the days of the war on drugs is over. It's over. This is not a war. Mm. This is a public health crisis. Mm. Our people are sick.
There never was a war, though. They called it a war on drugs, but you know, it was come on, they never did anything. They never did anything.
That drummed up business that scared a lot of people.
Except to arrest people. That was the war on drugs. Arresting people for using, not
made big money.
You know, bringing it in.
Especially in impoverished and downtrodden neighborhoods.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. If you're just tuning in, it's Court Radio, 107.9 WRNB. Call us with your legal questions, 215-263-1079. Mark is on the line with a question. Mark, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
How are you today?
Doing fine.
Listen,
thank you.
Different comment now. I mean, you put up a good point. I think it starts with the family. I think if the families know the person on drugs, the family should interact, even if that person get upset.
There's no question.
Now, I think families are scared to say something to hurt somebody's feelings. I get in that argument every Sunday with my family at dinner. I'm the one not scared to say something, but they act like they don't want to hurt people's feelings. It's not about their feelings if you know they're in trouble.
There's no question that families have to be involved and families have to get more involved. But that sickness, but you also have to recognize that it is a sickness and that it is an illness. Therefore, you need professionals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I'm saying. They have programs out there now that'll help drug people that's on drugs and things like that. Now, my question was that what you do with the drug dealers that if you catch them, I'll sit back and listen. Y'all guys have a blessed day.
Be well, Mark. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
You know, drug dealers. Well, I mean, are you dealing drugs so that you can use? Are you essentially, you know, selling off part of your stash so that you can continue to be a user? Again, we get back to, are you suffering from the disease of addiction? Or are you some profiteer? Are you like the head honcho? Of course, you know, the big fish needs to go to jail for a long time. I mean, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the people who are essentially sick and suffering drug addicts who are using the criminal, who are committing crimes to further their drug addiction. Those are the individuals who we can pull out of the system and get the help they need. It's time we started treating it like a disease. We got people on the line. Let's go.
Yes, we do. If you have a question, you can reach us at 215-263-1079. Quinzel is calling from Willingboro, New Jersey, with a comment and a question. Quinzel, good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning to you, and good morning, distinguished panel. How are you all this morning?
Good morning to you.
Good morning, thank you.
Quinzel.
Good morning, David. I have a comment question. My comment is that there's another aspect to that, is the aspect of the record, because every company now is doing background checks, and if we don't have an expungement process included in that, these people are not going to be able to get employed. I mean, you have every single company now doing background checks, and if they see the drug arrest on your record when they do the background check, you're still not going to get hired. So there also has to be an additional expungement process somewhere in place, as well as the treatment process.
Quizzell, you're absolutely right, and the treatment court provides for that. You can get arrests expunged off of your record, and in Philadelphia, actually, you can actually get a summary conviction expunged off of your record. And so you're absolutely right. Not only are employers, but insurance companies and everybody else are doing background checks.
If you go into a drug treatment program, and if you get a diversionary sentence like ARD, okay, where there's a system set up to expunge that record if you remain crime-free for a period of time, then they can be expunged. If you go through the regular court system and you get a conviction for even a misdemeanor, there is no basis for expungement currently of those crimes. One thing we could look at down the road after this becomes commonplace is perhaps a new rule. We'll call it the Quinzel rule. And this rule would say if your conviction has been for a crime of possession, that those crimes can be expunged even if you have a conviction. But that, I think, comes after first kind of making it a commonplace thing that these individuals need to be diverted from the system. And then,
right.
the graduate work, the second phase, would be to expunge all those records that essentially are records of a disease and not of a crime.
Yeah, and the expungement process sometimes leaves the onus on the actual individual to proceed and to engage in that process, which people don't normally do that. So it remains on their record, and they are penalized twice. They're penalized for the penalty or the drug possession, and then they're penalized because they're unemployable because of their background coming back dirty. My second question.
No, that wasn't a question. That was a comment and a question. Remember, he had a comment and a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. you got saved by a ruling from Judge Bacon.
Judge Bacon just ruled.
Okay. My question is, I had a situation where I had storm damage in my swimming pool, and my homeowner's insurance company came out. They we paid to repair the lining as well as some shingles on my roof. And then the lining being torn by the storm damage wind up rusting out the wall, and then the whole pool had to be destroyed. So they gave me a small check for the lining, and then the pool had to be destroyed. So do I have a claim for a supplemental claim since the whole entire pool had to be destroyed?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mr. Quinzel.
Sounds like you do.
Absolutely. And I think that you should bring a claim in. I heard you were from Willingboro. You bring
That's
it
correct.
In the Willingboro District Court against your insurance company if they refuse to pay your subsequent claim.
Fantastic. And I'm going to get on top of that right away. I appreciate your distinguished panel. You just brightened up my day.
Are you a regular listener to Court Radio?
I am a regular listener when I can get up. This morning I was up bright and early, and I turned you guys on right away. My mom's even listening.
Okay,
all right,
Mom.
Quinzel.
All right. Hi, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day to Miss Quinzel. Mrs. Quinzel Champagne. All right,
That's
be well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right.
Lines are lighting up,
yes,
Tiffany Bacon.
Yes, we do have several callers on the line. We have Gwen calling in from Philadelphia with a question. Gwen, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I do understand that you're talking about the drug addiction for prisoners, but do you think some of the incarcerations start with the how the police, with their authorization, how they take over things? A lot of incarcerations are frivolous. They take something small, put a lot of charges on the air, and the person can be in jail for a year waiting for a court appearance to acknowledge that the case was something small, it wasn't a really big case, but they spent this time in prison, which causes the state money.
You're trying to take us in a whole nother direction. I certainly agree that there are instances where there's overcharging that occurs. There are instances where we would hope that law enforcement would exercise more discretion before they even arrest the individual. But again, that is an hour in and of itself.
Okay, but I mean, I've seen it happen, and a lot of our police now are really, pointing out, I can do this. I have authority over that. And a lot of people are getting incarcerated for something really petty, which costs money to the state.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
But we got to start somewhere, and what my Philly lawyer proposes is that the pendulum swing back we decriminalize drug possession and petty crimes associated with it, and that these people get help, and then we can move on from there. Thanks, okay. And have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. We also have Stevie calling in from Philadelphia. Stevie, good morning. You are live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Stevie.
Good morning, Stevie.
All right.
What's your question, sir?
Well, my question is, I'm a long-haul professional truck driver, and I was in a pretty bad trucking accident. Co-worker of mine is coming out of Houston, Texas, and I have 3 minimal invasive surgeries on my lumbar spine, and I have to have 1 pending on my cervical, but my insurance company from workers offered me, like, you know, 60-something thousand dollars, but my weekly paycheck is like $1,300-$1,400 per week. Are they supposed to offer me what I would make throughout that year, or a percentage of that? Or
here's the question, Stevie, are you represented?
No.
That's the answer. The answer is that insurance companies will take advantage of unrepresented individuals. And if you want to get maximum value on any claim, whether it's workers' compensation or a trucking accident, there's one and only one way to do that. And that is to be represented by counsel. If you go it alone, they will try their darndest to take advantage of you. There are no hard and fast rules. Here's the rule. You get my Philly lawyer squeezing the insurance company's neck and beating them, then they come up with the right amount of cash.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Have a great day.
One second. I need you guys' numbers from the Philly, from where I can get help from.
215-227-2727.
2727. Got it. Thanks a lot, and God bless you, and have a great morning.
Be well.
Thank you. Same to you. Well, fellas, we're approaching the close of yet another show, so I want to give you an opportunity to have final thoughts on today's main legal hot-button topic.
I'm going to do a final Michael Jackson, something that we haven't talked about. You know that he supported more charities than any other pop singer in history.
Yeah, he's listed in the Guinness Book of World
Records. 39 charitable organizations he contributed to in a major way, not just, you know, in a little way. So
excellent.
There's a good fact about Michael Jackson.
There are many good facts about him.
Yeah, they're all good. Mm-hmm.
Edelin. So we all say goodbye, Michael. We remind people that it is important, based on our topic today, to treat the problem, treat the issue, treat the addiction, treat the illness so that people can get better, they can become productive, they can reintegrate themselves into society, make their communities, make their household, make society as a whole better. And as always, let me give a shout-out to my kids and wife who are at home, I presume, awake and listening.
A presumption,
yes.
That's all right.
All right, listen, here it is. Folks, get on the phone tomorrow morning. I know you all have family and friends and acquaintances who have or are locked up for drug-related offenses. If you want to do something, we need to begin a ground swelling. And if you haven't learned that in the last election, I don't know what else to do to tell you. You can make a difference in your own lives. There's only one way to do it, and that is to force the politicians who you have elected, you have hired, and you pay every week to do your will. Get on the phone and tell them that you want your people out, that people who are there for drug-related offenses need to be free and in programs. Thank you, and have a great day.
All right. And that's it for another edition of Court Radio. Thank you, fellas. Thank you for joining us. Much love going out to our producer, Red Chris, for always doing an awesome job. Please make sure you enjoy the sunshine today. Get your healthy dose of vitamin D. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll see you next week. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.
To download or hear more Court Radio podcasts, log on to 1079wrnb.com or mediafire.com/courtradio.